Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, November the 20th of 2018. And I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. And I'm very thankful that you have chosen to join me tonight, wherever you may be, whether you're traveling, whether you're at home, maybe you're thinking about what you're going to make for Thanksgiving, maybe you haven't even bought any of the groceries yet and got to go do it. Whatever the case may be. Yes, I'll come back to the food thing in a couple minutes. But first, I want to thank you for joining me, wherever you may be, and whatever device you may be using. My prayer is that on this Testimony Tuesday, that you'll receive something from God as we talk about the Lord for a while tonight. And I have a couple cool, awesome testimonies to get to, which I'll get to later. And I'm believing God with you that you're going to have one awesome Thanksgiving weekend, and you're going to be safe and sound, and you'll be able to minister to others, whether it be at your family gathering, or maybe if you go shopping, maybe you can minister to someone, maybe when you're in line, or maybe in the aisle or something. May you have God-given opportunities to reach people for Christ. Amen. So, a couple of my favorite Thanksgiving food items. First off, I want to give you a couple of things that many people like, but I myself don't when it comes to Thanksgiving food. One of them is stuffing. To be honest with you, I don't really love stuffing. I don't despise it by any means. I wouldn't even say it's a strong dislike. It's just, I absolutely have no problem doing without it and prefer it not being on my plate. I'm sure you have foods like that where you don't necessarily dislike them by any means, but you'd just rather not have them on your plate. Are there certain things with you that are kind of like that?
Not really. I'm not too picky of an eater.
I'm just saying there can be some things where maybe you don't really dislike it by any means. Gravy's one of those where you don't really dislike it or you don't really dislike it, let alone despise it, but at the same time you'd rather not have it. Like that?
Exactly.
It's like, and it's kind of almost like you kind of don't know why you don't like it, huh?
It's just like a taste thing.
You almost don't know why you don't like it, huh? Well, that's me, folks, with the stuffing. You know, if someone can try to think of a way for stuffing so that maybe I would like it. No, putting the celery in it won't help. Maybe some more salt would help, but don't do the celery. Onions, that wouldn't help. So if you can think of some ideas. Also the squash and sweet potatoes. To get me to really like either one of them, it would have to have a kind of high amount of sugar and sweetness. So I just go without it because, after all, you're going to have dessert after you eat your food anyway. So since I'd probably need a lot of sweetener and stuff on the sweet potatoes and squash to make it taste good, I just go without it. I greatly enjoy the mashed potatoes, the turkey, of course, and ribs. My Uncle Jerry likes to bring ribs, and they are awesome. And the corn, you know, or baked beans or whatever, anything like that someone brings. Cheesy potatoes, as long as there's not really onions in it. And mac and cheese, if people bring that. Rolls. Preferably a hot roll with butter on it. And by the way, folks, when I say I know where my bread comes from and who butters it, that's not talking about Thanksgiving dinner. It's talking about God. But the rolls you'll get at Thanksgiving really are really good. And then the dessert. Oh, man, pumpkin pie, apple pie. There's a peanut butter pie or peanut butter cake or something like that. Pumpkin pie, any kind of that kind of stuff, count me in. Save me at least a couple bites. At least a couple bites, because, you know, try to eat modest. That way you don't stuff yourself so much that you can't really function, you know. So try to be kind of modest, you know. But to be honest with you, though, the food should really just be a part of Thanksgiving. Maybe for some of us it might be the most favorite part. But the two most important things should be the time spent with family and being thankful to God. That should be what's most important. Not the food, not the football, although that's all great. And I greatly enjoy both of these. Another Thanksgiving tradition that I have is on Thursday night, depending on when I get back to Midland. Depending on what time it is, I like to either go into somewhere like a Walmart or Kmart or something like that, or even just drive by it and kind of see, you know, how are the crowds doing. And what have I noticed over the last few years since 2013 when I started this? That how busy it'll be at a certain time, it depends on when the place is opened up. For example, this past Thanksgiving night, 2017, Walmart opened at 6 o'clock. And I go there about 8:30, and it's not even packed. I mean, it was kind of busy, but I would absolutely not say it was the most packed I ever saw it. Did you go anywhere on Thanksgiving night last year or no?
No.
Have you ever went anywhere on Thanksgiving night?
No.
Have you went by anywhere?
With my family. I don't go shopping or go driving around or any of that.
Okay, to each their own, but I was just saying what I've seen, folks. And, well, I will say this. I have reasons why personally I won't do it until like 7 or 8. It has to do with family. I think all these places, if they're going to open on Thanksgiving at all, they should open at like 7 or 8. Never at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Anything like before 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, you can forget it. I won't be there. Because I'll either be at my grandpa's or wherever my family's at. Because or friends that are doing food and stuff because and by the way, folks, that doorbuster that might start at 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving afternoon at JCPenney or wherever, that item will go on sale again, won't it? It'll go on sale again. It might not be that exact same percentage off. It might be close, it might not be, but it'll at least go back on sale again. And I would strongly say you should absolutely not just leave your get-together right when everybody's eating so you can go do your shopping. Now, if your family get-together was at noon and you want to go at like 8 or 9, like maybe 8 or 9 at night, maybe that's more power to you. And you know, if you're in a place where the mall's open, might not be a bad idea maybe to go walk off some of that turkey of yours that you overate. No, I can't. No, who am I to judge? I was just nitpicking just in case some of you folks do. You know I said the overate thing to be funny, right? You know, Pastor likes to tease about it even sometimes the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and I'll be like, well, how many of you overate? And some people raise their hands, and I'll be like, why do I feel like I have to ask God for some emergency altar call deliverance? And you're not surprised that he would make a snarky remark about it, are you?
No,
he's awesome, and I love him. But while I'm on the Thanksgiving thing right now, let me get to this 1620. So in 1620 is when the Mayflower landed. And all these pilgrims had been on a very long, very hard journey. They've been very cold. and they were on a ship from Europe, and they landed in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. And you had Squanto, and you had all those other great pilgrims, and they had the corn and everything else. And then the next year, 1621, November, they decided, we're going to have a three-day feast. And they made lots of great food, and they played games and did all kinds of stuff, and you know, they gave thanks to God. They gave thanks to God. I think way too many people in America have made Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving weekend just about consumerism. And by that, I don't just mean to go shop. I mean, yeah, that included, but like Thursday, you just consume this food. By the way, you need food to survive, but they consume, and then they watch football, consume media. And then Black Friday, you know, they go shopping, and then whatever else they do. And hopefully along the way they spend time and talk, and maybe they do watch movies. But ultimately, Thanksgiving, at least part of it, should be about giving thanks to God. That's why tomorrow night at my church, we're having a special hour of giving of thanks service. We're going to have communion as a church family. And we are going to sing a couple songs. And it's going to be awesome. But in 1621, like I said, Squanto and all those wonderful pilgrims, after that long, hard journey, they gave thanks for everything that had been harvested, because it was a bountiful crop of food. And it was a great big party. But, and all that, they remember to give thanks to God, and not just, you know, stuff your belly. And by the way, as a side note, after Thanksgiving is over, it is time to put up that Christmas tree. Find it, put it up. I don't want to be like one of them rappers. Put them up. Where the lights at? But after Thanksgiving, sorry to warn you guys, but yep, Christmas will be coming. And time always flies by way too fast. It always does. We really do have a lot to be thankful for. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you, please, I want you to tell other listeners about this great show. I've been doing this for just about 16 months now. We've done about 240-some episodes. We've been enjoying doing it. We have been growing lately, which is awesome. We're growing and we're doing good. The hope is that you just keep broadcasting, keep telling people to be a part of this great program. And how you can be a part of it? You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com is the website, all one word. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay? After you have typed that in, you'll see a link. The link says Live and Large. I want you to hit on that link. Then we have a button that says Miracle Man. Preacher Miracle Man. We want you to click on that. Then we have a follow button, which we would love you to hit, because then what's going to happen is you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. So tomorrow night, 4:30, we're going to do our next show, because I have church tomorrow at 7. So it's going to mess with the timing a little bit. But nonetheless, we're still going to do it. And you can be a part of that. You can listen to it on any device, as long as you have a good internet connection, whether it be a smartphone, a laptop, a desktop, an Android. Tablet, whatever device you got. And you can be a part of it that way. And I want to encourage you, by the way, it is always a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. I also want to let you know that our goal here is to change the world through faith and radio. As we know that we should all have faith in God, because we're real people. We have real problems. But guess what, folks? I have a newsflash for you. That newsflash is that we serve a real God, and He is well able and willing to deliver us. Amen. We have a telephone number that you can call in and be a part of the show. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. If you have a prayer request, maybe you'd like me to sing a song. Whether it be about Thanksgiving or just any other song, Christmas song maybe. By the way, I was thinking about doing a Christmas song this week, but then I decided against it. I'm going to do probably one Christmas song per show, starting with next week, and then two once we get per day once we get into December. But that is unless you request one. If you request one, I'm going to do it tonight. I'll do one. But the number to call, and like I said, anything you want to say, the number is 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. 1-0. Listen for the prompts and then please press 1. We have a prompt that says to call into the live show. My assistant Cassidy will let me know that we have a caller. And then just let her know where you're from. I'll basically say something like, so-and-so from such and such. You're on the Preacher and Miracle Man show. What say you? And that's when you'll know that you have the floor. And hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. Now, before I pray and open my Bible, I'm just going to communicate what the plan is for this evening. Here it is. We're going to go to Mark chapter 3 for a little bit. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 11 and read the first two verses of Hebrews 12 as well. Then, after we do that, we're going to exhort for a few minutes. I'm going to exhort you for a few minutes. And then we have a little bit of sports to get to. And just so you have an idea, I will outline these briefly right now. Pistons played a game against the Cavs yesterday. What happened there? Also, Michigan with a good win. That they are now in the top 10. And then in the NFL. What happened at that game last night? And what do I think caused everything to transpire the way it did? Why was it so high scoring? And I'll have keys. What does Michigan have to do if they're going to defeat that team from down south? Am I going to predict it tonight? Absolutely not. You've got to wait for tomorrow night for that pick. For me. And if someone really wants a hint tonight, I better hear it from your mouth. Meaning I better hear you ask for it. So that I, just for proof, that you're asking for it. And then I just might say an M or an O. M, of course, would mean Michigan. O would mean Ohio State. I wouldn't even do that tonight because my pick is not ready. I do have a couple stats that I will get to when I get to that part of the program. But before we do any of that, it is Testimony Tuesday, so I figured I received word of a couple testimonies. Figured I'd share them. They're real short, but they're really cool. So, Thursday night, God told Pastor, Pastor was getting ready to preach, on something, and then God said, Dr. Buckley, I want you to lay hands on the sick. Like if you have a cold, if you have a flu, if you have something that's been with you for a long time, life-threatening or not. And so, of course, I go up there, and others go up there. And
one member. He just used this one as an example, although I'm sure there were others. One member had issues with pain in his body, in his back and stuff. And then Sunday morning, pastor said that man had told him, "I have felt no pain since then." That anointing had went forth from the prayer line on Thursday night. Dr. Barclay had been fighting some things in his body with his throat and stuff. And he admitted that ever since Thursday night, he had noticed that his strength had increased a lot. And he knew that God was moving in his body, and that it wasn't just anything natural or a medicine he was taking. Amen. Power of God works. The power of God works. You just heard it from two testimonies. By the way, if you've got a testimony you want to share, call into my show right now, and I'll gladly pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to come on board the show, wherever they are, and to be a part of it. I thank you, Lord God, that these people are ready to receive of your word and what you have for them. Thank you, Jesus, that you would speak through them. May you give me a word that I could maybe say to you would have me do it, Lord. I give this next little bit of time to you, God. And you get to move. You can interrupt me, God. You can just move in any way that you want to. And I thank you that these people have a heart to receive and ears to hear of your word, God. Thank you that any one of these people who does not know you will give their life to you right now. And Lord, I confess over this show right now, new equipment comes into this program. More and more listeners come into this program. Finances come into this program. And partners come into this program who want to help me do this work. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. We'll see what Jesus has in store for us this evening. Wait a minute. Actually, you know, let's go to Mark 1. Mark 1. I was just, you know, looking, turning up pages, and I thought, oh, there's some awesome things in here. And so, if you were in Mark 3, go to Mark 1, please. And no, I can't say you beat me. If
probably a tie. But while you're turning there, I just want to say, encourage you to please follow along for this next little bit. If I pray, you pray. As I'm studying the Bible, you study with me. As engagement is how you're going to get the most out of it. Because it's like with anything else. If I took you guys, all these listeners, however many of you there are, if I took you all to a basketball game and you just kind of sat there, played on your phones all night, looked aimlessly at the floor and the players, just seeing who looked like what, and wasn't paying attention to the game, you wouldn't get that much out of it. Just like if you did that in church. But if you were cheering and getting excited, at least showing some interest, you'll get more out of it. As the more you participate, the more you can get from God, even in my opinion. So, good one. Sorry, I was just checking out the time. Mark 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert. It's a, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance. And the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 now. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending like him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Holy Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Verse 14, we'll get into the calling of the first disciples. Verse 14 now. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. Verse 19. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, followed him. And they went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who has authority, and not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want? What do you want with us, Jesus, son of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all of the sick and the demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35 now. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, and he begged him on his knees, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You know, I'm just going to say one quick thing, and then we're going to continue on in our Bible study. You know, these people were very desperate for a move of God, to the point where they didn't care how far away they had to go. They were like, we want this miracle. And back then, they didn't have cars, so they couldn't get in the car and drive 40 minutes, 1 hour, whatever. You would have to admit that maybe some of these people came from, like, a long ways away. Maybe like an hour's drive or something, or more, which would have been at least a day probably on, or close to it, on horseback, or walking, or however they got there. Nonetheless, my point is, they were desperate for a miracle from God. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Praise God. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not just made up of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. When he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise.
for he was looking forward of the city, to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. But all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers. They admitted that they were aliens and that they were strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. They had been thinking of the country they had left. They would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. We're going to continue. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all committed for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's look at the first two verses of Hebrews 12 now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in Mark 1, we saw that Jesus was baptized in water by John. After which, in this account, you want to know something about the Bible, folks? You know, John is quite a bit different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the account of which it starts, Jesus starts his ministry in Mark, is different from Matthew and Luke. And that's something I'm going to ask God about when I get to heaven. I'm going to say, why did Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give somewhat different accounts? And then I'm sure we'll get an answer from Jesus. And I'm sure many other Christians would want to know the same thing. But he got baptized, and in all three versions, you know, he goes right to work right after. And he starts to minister, you know, to heal people, to deliver people, to set people free. Because that's what he was sent here to do. Amen. And about these miracles, he drove out a very evil spirit. And Jesus told him, amen. You know, that demon was talking to him and he was like, what do you want to do with us? And Jesus basically told the man and that demon, you know, be quiet. And then he commanded the demons to come out of the man. And they come out. Then you saw Jesus go heal his wife's mother-in-law who was sick. She had a fever. We don't know how high the temperature was
because we did not have a estrogen or whatever that thing is called, temporal scanner thermometer. You ever, whatever that thing's called, it used to be advertised all the time as the estrogen, Cassidy, I think. It's something like that. It's been advertised for a long time. But
I don't recall.
But you remember some thermometer like that always being advertised. You forget what it was called, though, don't you?
Yeah.
But whatever that estrogen is or whatever, maybe some of you sports fans can help me. I know it was only a few years ago, but I remembered more of those games than what I did that thermometer. Nonetheless, I don't care about the thermometer. What I care about is they didn't have the thermometer back then, so we don't know how high her temperature was. But more importantly than that, Jesus healed it. I don't know if it was like 102 or 105 or 101 or whatever. I don't think your body can survive anything over 106. Am I right?
I'm not sure. I think you'd be really sick, but I think you can survive over
it. We just know. All we know is that it was a high fever. That's all we know, folks. The point is, Jesus healed it. But then Jesus healed a lot more people after that night. Jesus and his disciples, near the door of that house, everybody from that town who needed healing or freedom from evil spirits, Jesus basically was like, I'm not going to teach tonight. I'm just going to flow in the spirit, and we're going to have a deliverance, healing and deliverance service. And he just healed them, delivered them right there on the spot. Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. But then, you see, there was that leprosy man, the leper. And the man says, he kneels down, out of reverence to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He says, I'm willing. Be clean. And he's made well, and then guess what? He went forth and told, he spoke freely about the miracles of Jesus. And got to the point to where Jesus now had to go speak in more rather remote places. But guess what? People were desperate enough for healings and they were hungry enough for the word and for the Spirit of God that, guess what? They didn't care how far they had to go to get to the anointing. And they came from everywhere, and they received. And Jesus did many, 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 many miracles. My point is this. Revival's coming, folks. But we got to want it. And we got to decide that we are desperate for Jesus. We got to decide, I can't live this way anymore. Something's got to be different. I need you. I need this healing that we made manifest. I want more of you in my life. I
revival starts with an increased hunger for Jesus. And it's got to be beyond just, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I sit in this. Well, you'd be like, this kid that would be like, this is my church. This is my altar. This is my bucket where I pay my tithe. This is my seat where I sit in the service. This is my, that's just, at that point you're just doing the motions. But it ought to be, Jesus, 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 I need more of you. Help me, Jesus. Once you get to that place, and you got to be expecting him to move. You also got to have faith. But even if you have the faith, you got to be expecting. Not just hoping, but expecting. That means you go into church and you're expecting him to move in that service. You're expecting it. And we got to have our expectancy on high. Our expectancy level, I should say, on high, and not just low. And this idea of, I don't know if he's ever going to move. I don't know if he's ever going to heal me. At that point, you're way down into unbelief. But you got to get that belief. You got to go from, not only from unbelief to belief, but you got to go from belief to expectancy, to where you're expecting God to move, expecting him to move, asking him, and have that belief in him. Amen. Because let's face it, we all have different needs. What I need may be different from what you need. Maybe your belief is, maybe what you're looking for God to do is, maybe your kid's in jail and you're believing for him to get out. You know, depending on what happened. Maybe you received a cancer report. The bottom line is, God wants to move. And we all got to get to that place where we are expecting him. And we're just expecting him to move mightily on our behalf. And not just believing. Believing is awesome, but we got to expect it. We got to expect the anointing power of God to move. And we got to be prepared. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners. I thank you, Lord, for this word that we read tonight. Thank you for all the miracles that you've done and everything you're going to do for us, Lord. I thank you that we would get this word in our hearts and that it would stick with us, that we would be desperate for you, hungry, and that we would have an expectancy for you to move. An expectancy that you're going to move on our lives and do things on our behalf. And I thank you that you'll work on us in the process. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Now, let me first remind you that at any time where it's Coke versus Dr. Pepper, Coke wins every time. Every time. The Coke is so much better than what the Dr. Pepper can ever be. It's more refreshing. There's more carbonation. I know Preacher Man's Dr. Pepper has 23 flavors in it, but my Coca-Cola, there's just some special things about it that Dr. Pepper cannot claim. Like that it's the number one preferred soft drink in the world, number one most consumed. Yeah. There's a reason why Coke's number one. It's the best. And at McDonald's, whether you choose a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or a Sprite or a Fanta, you can get either one of these for the low price of just $1 every day at a McDonald's near you. Tax extra. See store for details. All right. Let's talk some sports. Pistons last night got a 120-105 win over the league worst Cleveland Cavs. Let's face it. Since LeBron left Cleveland, Cleveland was way up here, like this, you know, way up here, finals all the time, you know. They talked about earlier in June about the fourth annual meeting between the Warriors and the Cavs. Well, LeBron decides he's going to leave Ohio, and just like that, down, right down to the bottom of the league. Like, how did that? There was my, like, that was a quick dive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was, yep, they went, yep, they went straight down. Right down the tube. And, we beat them. And, let's face it, this year the Pistons have been okay. My hope is that we can get a good trade or something so that we can get to doing better, so that we can make the playoffs. Speaking of, you know, really good teams, Michigan is back in the top 10 for basketball. As a poll has come out, and they're ranked like number 9. And the Wolverines take on Chattanooga Mox on Friday night. I'd like to see Chattanooga play Michigan tough. I really would. I want Michigan to win, but I want Chattanooga to play them tough. Because I just really hope it can be a lot of fun. And I'm expecting more great things out of Michigan this season. I really am. Michigan and Michigan State in the world of basketball. Now, let's delve into some football. Well, last night, the ultra crazy game of the 2-9-1s of 2-9-1 teams, 9-1 Chiefs versus 9-1 Rams in Los Angeles. And the Rams won 54-51. The last play, an interception by the Chiefs quarterback. I mean, an interception by the Chiefs covered quarterback, recovered by the Rams defense. And the Rams, by the way, scored 21 points off of Chiefs turnovers. 21 points. That goes to show a very important lesson in the world of football and basketball and hockey. I mean, football and basketball, hockey, you use pucks, but you cannot turn the ball over repeatedly and expect to win the ball game. By repeatedly, I'm talking, you know, 3 turnovers plus. Because sometimes, you know, there can be weather and that, and sometimes weather could sometimes cause turnovers a little bit. And in that case, if you throw one, they throw one, you know, that happens. But weather's not even an issue, really, when the ball's being turned over a lot by a particular team, like the Chiefs. 3 turnovers. Let's face it, the defenses weren't that great last night. 54-51. Highest scoring game in the history of Monday Night Football, and one of the highest scoring games ever in the history of the NFL. 54-51, which translates into a grand total of 105 points. 105. That's a lot of scoring. And the game took, by the way, longer than any Super Bowl because of all the scoring and stuff, you know. Because every time there was a touchdown scored, you know, you got to take a minute or two break, and then a break after the kickoff, and all that time adds up. Well, if it's a lower scoring game, it'll be done kind of quicker, depending on everything that happens. And so Rams win. There's a chance that could be your Super Bowl. It's possible. But one thing we got to look at, and by the way, this doesn't necessarily mean anything, but this is just a fun stat. A new power ranking has came out, and the new number one is the Saints. And let's face it, the Saints have been having an awesome year. Drew Brees has had one of his best years ever. He's been sharp. He's been just rocking the house, and he's been fun to watch. He really has been fun to watch. I've been enjoying Drew Brees as I think they're better than the Rams, because the Rams were down at one point by a touchdown again in the fourth quarter for like the third time in a row. I don't think the Saints have had to do that much recently. The Saints play Atlanta on Thursday night in New Orleans. that's going to be one of the NFL games I'm going to pick tomorrow night. Michigan, Ohio State. What does Michigan have to do to beat Ohio State? Well, first off, let me give you a couple stats. One stat, really. Back in the 1990s, when it was sort of back and forth, some years Michigan won, other years Ohio State won, it really mattered where it was played. Michigan was a, in the games where Michigan won it at the time, they were able to be more dominant at home. In Ohio State, for example, in 1996, I want to say Ohio State was driving and the clock ran out. They were down to the Michigan 30. And had they scored a touchdown, they would have won that ball game. Meantime, since 2000, has Michigan been able to win a single game against the Buckeyes in Columbus since 2000? No. Well, what about 06? Did Michigan beat Ohio State there? Number one versus number two? One OSU to Michigan? Nope. This is the first time that I know of in a long time that Michigan has went into Ohio State ranked higher than the Buckeyes. Could this be a factor? Well, it's possible. But let's face it, to be honest with you folks, those rankings are just rankings. What's really going to show what, if rankings show anything, that's going to be sorted out on the field on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Between about 12 o'clock and about 3:15, 3:20. By the way, you can listen to that game on 790 AM WSGW or on the TuneIn app. Or in the Detroit area, you can listen on 950 WWJ or on any other Michigan football network station. And so it can be where it's played can make a difference. Michigan would have beaten 2016. Michigan would have beat Ohio State, except for that official was an Ohio State fan. I think he truly showed bias. And to be honest, I hope he doesn't get to officiate a Michigan-Ohio State game again, especially not one that's in Columbus. Because that was crazy how loud they got. And to be honest with you, if you're going to win, if you're going to have a first down, it should be because you earned it. That guy should have not just handed that first down out. If that guy would have truly gotten the first down, then I would have said, okay, he got the first down. It's going to be first and goal from the whatever now. And then, yes, they did get a touchdown. They did win the ballgame. As OSU did win. Even though Michigan outplayed them most of the game. Here's what Michigan can't do. Michigan needs to play a very good game at quarterback. Their quarterback, Patterson. needs to have a very good game. She needs to not throw those picks like she threw on Saturday against Indiana. Also, ball security. Don't fumble the ball like MSU did. They gave Ohio State 6 feet, two different touchdowns doing that. And that gave the Buckeyes 12 free points. Can't be doing that. Not if you're Michigan and you want to win. But God by Queen. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.